Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tinker Talks podcast. I am your host, Mark Hybers, and today I am joined by our brand new installation chaplain. That's Major Andy Peck. But for this point going forward, it is just Chaplain Peck, correct?
Yes, sir.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining us for this episode. We think coming along the holiday season and with a brand new chaplain here on base, well, a couple months now, it's a good time to kind of introduce you and get into the holidays and our chaplain corps and a little bit about you, sir. So thank you for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we'll jump right in a very brief, because you could probably go on about this for quite a while, but could you just give us a little bit of background about who you are, how you got to this point in your career in the Air Force?
Sure. Thank you. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, my wife and my three boys and I got here on July 1st. So it's been a little, about 5 months or so since we got here. My background is I'm an Air Force brat. My dad was an F-4 navigator, weapon systems operator, a backseater. And I was born in Bitburg, Germany, and then lived at Air Force bases kind of all over the country. But to walk you through briefly, started at Bitburg and Spangdahlem, and then Shaw, Seymour Johnson, Langley, did a little time at Tyndall. My dad started working joint with the Army, lived at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I eventually moved over to Kansas City and went to high school in Kansas City. So when people say, hey, where are you from? My short story is Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. The long story is walking them through all the bases and everything that I've lived at. But felt the call to full-time ministry a few years after college, went to the University of Missouri, Columbia, Mizzou, and had gotten involved in my local church, but really felt the call to full-time ministry, went to my pastor, and they put me on staff at the church as one of the associate pastors, served there for a few years, and then went over to Kansas City to go to seminary. I went to Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Awesome. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later when I talk about the chaplain candidate process. Okay. But worked at a homeless shelter, the City Union Mission, a gospel-centered rescue mission. Mm-hmm. And I was a youth pastor at a local church there, and then also delivered pizzas for Papa John's. And so that was kind of my time during seminary. And then I went down to Norman, Oklahoma, and served as an associate pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Norman from 2010 to 2014. And during that time, I was actually reserve chaplain, IMA reserve chaplain, who served here at Tinker. So this was my very first assignment back over a decade ago. So I have a lot of fond memories. I promoted to captain right here on this stage where we're sitting.
Awesome.
And promoted to first lieutenant in our fellowship hall down the hall. My first supervisor continued to be one of my big mentors and continues to be one of my mentors today. So, and then to fast forward just a little, went from being a reserve chaplain to getting a phone call asking if I would go active duty, and went to Kirtland Air Force Base over in Albuquerque. Then was almost 5 years there, and then over to Scott Air Force Base, still as a captain. Was there for 2 years, then headed over to Moody Air Force Base and Air Combat Command, and I was the deputy wing chaplain for the 23rd Wing, and then got the call last February that I was coming here. So got here in July, and yeah, I'm the wing chaplain for the 72nd.
That's awesome. That's a good little career, a couple times through a couple of the same bases. So your father, an F-4 backseater.
Yes, sir.
Was your mom involved with the church in any way, or did you decide to get into doing God's work because your dad was a backseater? I mean, how did that all? It seems like a totally different path than what you might have been already headed towards.
No, that's a good question. So as far as growing up in the church and things, we did go to church typically wherever we were. Occasionally it was a chapel. You know, sometimes we were on Army installations. Sometimes we'd go to the Army chapel. Usually it was like a local church. Mm-hmm. But honestly, even though we went to a lot of services most of the time, in our home, we didn't really talk about God, Jesus, the Bible, very much. So for me, it was like my high school youth group. My stepdad during high school was a strong Christian. I saw him reading the Bible and his Bible open on his desk, and I thought, wow, he reads the Bible. And so it really challenged me to how serious am I taking my faith. When I got to college, I got involved in a campus ministry called Crew. And through Crew, I started to be discipled and trained on how to really live out the Christian life, right? Not just to call myself a Christian, but to actually live it out, to make a difference on campus. So also went to a summer project with Crew down in Orlando at Crew's World Headquarters. Mm-hmm. And through that project was discipled and trained on how to live a fruitful Christian life. It really made a big difference in my life. And so when I got back to my campus, my sophomore year after that initial summer, I started to take my faith a lot more seriously. Started leading Bible studies, started meeting one-on-one with guys especially, and helping them, you know, grow and learn about their faith.
Right. Awesome. How to kind of become a better man. And so before we carry on, like, I've got to say, like, we're doing this in just a great scenery. Like, you know, we have the background here for the holidays, and this is just a beautiful, beautiful background for us to be sitting in.
I agree. Our Tinker Chapel is a beautiful facility. I've been here for, gosh, probably about 70 years or so, but probably renovated from time to time, and it is a beautiful facility, and we're blessed to have such a nice place for our services.
I've seen there, I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I have seen pictures of some famous, very famous people have been married in this church. So this does have a lot of history. I know I've seen a lot of old pictures of it when it was first going up and mm-hmm. outdoors, and it's changed a little bit outside, probably a little bit inside too, but
yes,
you know, the manger is probably a little bit newer than it was 70 years ago.
But right.
Kind of a cool area for us to be sitting in. And
yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about the challenge it is to be an Air Force chaplain? You kind of have to be very careful in your non-denominational approach. Like, is it hard sometimes? Because I'm assuming that you have one faith, or I guess Christian, but you talked about going to Baptist church when you were young. And so, you know, in the Air Force, where you're definitely out giving God's word to a very different, broader group of people. So tell me about that a little bit. Is that hard for chaplains or for you? Or?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. So as chaplains, we are, you know, we're kind of like dually affiliated, right? Mm-hmm. We are commissioned by the Air Force. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we are still ourselves, right? And while we're protecting everybody else's free exercise of their religion, we all have our personal faith as well. Right. And more than a personal faith, to be a chaplain, you have to be endorsed by a denomination, right? A denomination has to say, yes, we endorse this person to function as a chaplain under our banner. Okay. And so if that denomination says they're not acting faithfully, you know, to our, not just their convictions, but our convictions, they can pull their endorsement, and then I can no longer, you know, continue to serve as a chaplain unless I find a new endorser. Right. So there is kind of like that push-pull where we have to be faithful to both, faithful to the Air Force as an officer, but faithful to our denomination. But like I'd say more to the point of your question, at least for me, and I would say for most every chaplain, we are chaplains because we love people, mm-hmm. right? We want to make a positive impact on people's lives. And so while we have personal convictions and faith convictions, like, we just want to serve people. We want to help bless marriages. We want to see people choosing life, you know, in their relationships. Mm-hmm. And so my goal, right, in being a chaplain is not to make people more like me in my denominational sense, but it is to make a positive impact on people. And the truth is that in protecting the free exercise of people's religion, for me as an endorsed Southern Baptist chaplain, there's a number of people that come from a Christian background. So when they come for counseling and I say, hey, what's your faith background? Many people, right, are going to say, oh, yeah, I grew up in church, or oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, and they want to grow in their faith. They want to be helped along, right, and as they try to follow Jesus. And so I am able to help them. But with that said, I'm here for everyone. All of our chaplains are here for everyone, regardless of their background.
Right. And I do find it interesting that a lot of outside entities, and in all fairness, you know, most of the non-military world don't quite understand the military side and what we do. Like, it's a whole different animal on this side. But it struck me as how much and how little people know. When you recently had an opportunity to give the invocation at a pro basketball game here locally. And I remember the conversation I was having back and forth with them was that they were very careful about, hey, make sure that, you know, it's non-denominational. And like, well, you know, that's sure. That's like right up our chaplain's alley. That's an everyday thing for them. So it's kind of cool that you guys are already operating in that way. But I think a lot of people don't quite realize that.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I would say that, you know, and part of our training as chaplains is understanding our audience, mm-hmm. right? Like, where are we, right? When I'm speaking, when I'm asked to speak, where am I when I've been asked to say a prayer, right? Am I here at this pulpit in a Protestant worship service? Because if so, I'm probably going to preach and pray very similar to how I would in a church, right? Off base. But if I'm at an all call, right, if I'm at a commander's call, or if I'm at an annual award ceremony, it's just a different audience. We also, as chaplains, we look at, did people voluntarily come to what this event is, or were people told that they will be at this event? And so we try to be sensitive to that when we're crafting our comments and our prayers.
Right. Well, for sure, your gatherings, like at the I think the Wednesday night, maybe the... You do a lot of food gatherings with people on the base, but it seems that it's always like one of the most popular things around, which is great to know. Every old war movie that I watch, that, you know, there's some tie with chaplains, you know, mm-hmm. military chaplains out on a battlefield and doing that. Like, to me, it's just such a neat thing to see the incorporation of chaplains and how they play such a critical role, even. You know, in a situation like that, you're on a battlefield and you're dealing with very difficult situations and people that are doing a very different job than you're doing, but how crucial you are to their headspace and what they do out there to stay focused and stay alive. So tough job for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm sure carrying God's word is just a tough job anyway, but a lot of weight on the shoulders.
It's an honor. And, you know, and to your comments, the Chaplain Corps has been around, you know, since before the Revolutionary War. So it's not a new entity.
Right.
I'm a part of a long legacy, right, of people that have served our troops and airmen and sailors and guardians and Coast Guardsmen that have served. So right. It's a blessing.
And we talked just for a second about Colonel Rosetta being a part of your hiring process, and do you think she's satisfied with her pick yet?
You would have to ask her, but it's a blessing to work
I'm
with her.
Kidding. I want to see if
Oklahoma Woman of the Year. I believe she was named last Friday. So
how great was that? What an honor for us and her and our base that our boss gets to have that big honor.
Absolutely.
As far as I know, she's the only one from Tinker that's been selected for that honor, so
it's awesome.
Good for her and all of us. But yes, I'm just wondering if she actually watches. I want to see if she gives me some feedback on that question. So moving a little bit further on, as far as the chapel services and what you all offer as a core, what types of services do you offer? And not only, I guess, you offer services for everybody, the civilians, mm-hmm. and our active duty and reserve, correct? Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So as far as religious services, if that's what you're asking about, we have Protestant and Catholic worship services that are offered here, and then daily mass different times of the week, mm-hmm. Which you can check our Tinker Chapel Facebook page for specific, you know, service times. Those are the religious services that we offer. What we do as a chaplain corps is we say we provide or provide for, right? Again, the free exercise of religion. So right. While we do know that a large percentage of our military and civilian population we're going to meet their needs by those Protestant and Catholic services. Not everyone falls under those umbrellas, right? Those categories. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons that our connections with local clergy, off base, synagogues, and other religious entities is so important. And so if we're not offering it here, then we're happy to help get an airman or a civilian connected to like an off base place, which we're really blessed in Oklahoma City to have so many different religious services available.
Right. And it is good offering all these services to all people. I guess that really kind of cements the one team, one fight. Like, we're all one cohesive unit, even coming right down to something like getting religious services. You know, you guys are here. Everybody is a part of this bigger fight. So we're in the holidays now. You can see all around us, you know, we're definitely here at the holiday season. How do you assist airmen during the holidays? Is there an uptick in your demand? Because I think some of the services that you offer too is you do go out into different units. Like our unit can request that a chaplain come in and either do a prayer service with us or just listen to people talk. So how does that work for you guys during the holiday? Is there an uptick? Do you try to get out a little bit more? Or do you get more requests to go out and do things with airmen at this time of year?
Yeah, no, great question. So in anticipation of your question, I looked up some statistics. So here's a 2021 poll on behalf of the American Psychiatric Association found that Americans are 5 times more likely to report that their stress level, mm-hmm. can you imagine, okay. increases during the holidays, and then 47% of adults say that they feel anxious because they miss family members. So definitely during the holidays, there is an increase in stress and some sometimes difficult emotions. To be honest, you know, you would think that, oh, like we'll have a line at the door of people coming to seek counseling. I would say I haven't, in my 15 years in the chaplain corps, I haven't really seen that over the holidays, even though you might expect it. Right. But we do see sometimes after the holidays, you know, people come back from the holidays or come back from traveling or maybe some difficult interactions with family members or something. And that's when they'll start maybe reaching out for counseling and things like that. But as far as what we do, yeah, a lot of our chaplains are embedded. They're out in the units. And so they're really close and accessible for airmen, to talk to, stop by, do counseling. People can call the chapel, or they can just stop by. Right. We actually have a duty chaplain cell phone. Mm-hmm. I'll give it. It's 405-481-1390. 481-1390. An airman can call or text that number if they have something going on. They don't have to go through any entities at all. Right. But if for some reason they're like, oh, I didn't write that down during the podcast, they can always call the command post. The command post is 405-734-7313. And 24/7, the command post will connect an airman with a chaplain, you know, anytime, day or night. Right. But as far as services and things that we offer, we advise leadership. That's one of our core competencies as chaplains. So mid-level or higher level, anybody that feels like, how do I best take care of my unit? You know, how do I best serve the airmen that I'm working with? I feel like morale's a little bit low. They can always, you know, call us in. Hey, chaplain, what do you think's going on? Right. So that's one of the ways that we can, we would never divulge, you know, something that we learned like in a confidential setting. Mm-hmm. But if there's something we're hearing, right, like as an aggregate from a lot of different airmen, like, hey, we really feel like this issue, you know, or this issue keeps coming up a lot. We can tell that leader, hey, we're hearing a lot about this going on, right, without divulging any sort of confidentiality. Right. Aside from that, we do religious accommodation. So if an airman maybe has a faith tradition that they practice or they want to go to their local church or synagogue or mosque or whatever, mm-hmm. during the holidays or another time of the year, and they've already requested that from, let's say, their supervision and maybe gotten some pushback or something, we would encourage them to, you know, to give us a call. We would love to advocate for them, work with their leader, help them understand the importance of accommodating our airmen. Mm-hmm. And usually that's all it takes is maybe a phone call or an email. Sometimes it needs like a more formal, you know, religious accommodation. There's a process for that, and we can walk people through that. Right. And then also, we offer retreats. So both resiliency-based, but also faith-based retreats kind of throughout the year. So that's just kind of a smattering of some of the different things that we offer through the chapel.
That's awesome. And so one thing you guys offer a lot in way of helping our airmen through difficult times, stressful times, but where do you turn to get your help? Like, I suppose that's a fair question, because if you're taking on a lot of it, you know, there's got to be an outlet for our chaplains. Like, where do our chaplains go? Do you turn to each other?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. To be honest, throughout my 15 years in the chaplain corps, I've turned to almost all the different helping agencies that we refer people to. Mm-hmm. I have turned to those for help myself. You know, sometimes individually, sometimes for maybe help with my marriage. I've been married 18 years. It takes work. Right. It takes work. And we go through seasons where sometimes it's smooth sailing and sometimes it's rough waters and we need help. So I would say yes, occasionally I'll turn to other chaplains, maybe here, but oftentimes maybe outside of like my immediate, you know, chapel team, maybe a former supervisor or something, reach out to them because I can have confidentiality with them. But I've turned to family advocacy, their FAST program to get some marriage therapy. I've called Military One Source and been referred to, you know, downtown counselors. I've worked with my wife sometimes. We've used just like a referral through mental health to get some marriage counseling off base. I've talked to MFLAX before, military and family life counselors. Right. Personally, I've utilized almost all the different services that we offer airmen. And I feel like that gives me, you know, when I'm referring someone, they say, well, I've never called Military One Source. I say, hey, here's how it goes. Here's what it's going to look like. Right. I can kind of walk them through that.
I think that's pretty crucial, and certainly, you know, goes without saying that there's no life that's just absolutely perfect. Knowing that everybody needs to turn to a source at some point in their life, like, don't take it on. But also, I think you pointed it out, that it's incredibly beneficial that you can actually walk somebody through these resources because you've used them yourself. So It's a big help. I do know that there's a big recruiting event coming up in March. Tell me a little bit about that, because I don't know that in all my time here I've ever really been dialed into this type of a recruiting event. And they may happen every year. I've never really been aware of it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking. So on March 7th of 2025, we're going to have what we're calling the Military Chaplaincy Explo 2025, A Day in the Life. Okay. And basically, it is a kind of a one-of-a-kind, first-of-its-kind event. It's a collaboration between Altus Air Force Base, Vance Air Force Base, Tinker Air Force Base, the wing chaplains at those places, but then also some of the chaplains and chaplain corps members over at Fort Sill, Air Force Chaplain Corps recruiting, Army recruiting, Navy recruiting. So it's a really big event that we're going to host over at the Tinker Event Center. We're hoping for hundreds of prospective Chaplain Corps members to come from all over the state of Oklahoma and then surrounding states. And the idea is to just give people a taste of what is it like, some of the questions we've been talking about here today, But what is it like to be in the Chaplain Corps? So we're going to have like a TED Talk style testimonies of, you know, experiences that chaplains have had and religious affairs airmen have had in the Chaplain Corps, mm-hmm. so that people can say, oh, like that's what it's like to be, you know, in the Chaplain Corps. And we're going to talk about really practical stuff, like what's the pay, right? Like maybe for a civilian pastor who's just considering it or heard about chaplaincy, well, what's the difference between like the average civilian pay of a pastor or clergy member, and then if they were to join the military and become for a chaplain to become an officer and to get to do that. One of the goals as well, we're planning to work with the 552 to have an E3 AWACS static display that the prospective chaplains and religious affairs members can walk through, and then do a massive feeding event where we invite airmen to come out to the flight line and then give these folks a chance to just interact with airmen, you know. The most powerful and important weapon system that we have in the military is it's our airmen and soldiers and Marines and everybody. It's our people, right? And so we just thought if we can just let people have even just 5 minutes with one of our awesome airmen here on Tinker, that it'll probably help them kind of catch that bug for like, wow, that I want to do that, because there is such an incredible opportunity to, you know, to bring light and life into the lives of people on Tinker.
Sounds like a pretty amazing event. And that takes me back to, I think, a question I didn't ask. Like, you came from an IMA reserve world, and I don't remember if you touched on it, but what made you jump over to the active duty side, and how big a shock was that to you and your family at that point in time?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. So when I was a student at Midwestern Seminary and getting my Master of Divinity, every chaplain has to have an MDiv or Master of Divinity. One day I was in front of the chapel, our little chapel, and there weren't many people around, or I don't think there was anybody around. And there was one of those old wire racks, you know, that had like old brochures, old pamphlets. Sure. You've seen those before. And so I was just kind of like perusing. I had some time, and I saw, you know, Air Force Chaplain Candidate Program. And so I pulled that out, and I thought, oh, I've not really heard of this before. What's this all about? Opened it up and learned that there was this program where I could become a chaplain candidate in the Air Force, and then it funneled directly into the reserves. Mm-hmm. And part of that chaplain candidate program is that I could, during the summers of my seminary education, I could get, at the time, go to COT, Commissioned Officer Training. Now chaplains will just go to OTS, you know, with everybody else.
Right.
And then get exposed to chaplaincy, do 2 internships as a chaplain, and at the end of my seminary time, still have the opportunity to make the decision, is this for me or not? Hmm. And so for me, it was like, wow, I could kind of like dip my toes into, you know, life in the Air Force, life as a chaplain, but then still have that that decision point.
Right.
So for me, once I started doing it, once I started doing the internships, and actually my first full regular internship as a chaplain candidate was here at Tinker Air Force Base in the summer of 2010. But once I did that, I was like, I love this, you know, and this is what I'm meant to do. So I came in as a reserve chaplain, as I shared with you, did that for 4 years, got the phone call, hey, would you do a 3-year active duty stint? It was a program called Extended Active Duty. They later changed the name to VPLAD, Voluntary Period of Limited Active Duty.
Okay.
And so I said yes. 2 months later, they said, okay, you're in. We'll call you in a week, let you know where you're going, somewhere in the world. Okay. Called me a week later, said, you're going to Kirtland Air Force Base. Truth in lending, they had said, hey, where do you want to go? You know, we got all these different positions. We could maybe go up in the Northeast, experience Boston, maybe go to the Southeast. That's where my dad lives. Love to be close to him. They said, okay, we'll work on that. And then they called and said, all right, you're going to Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right.
So that's just a little window into how the Air Force does assignments.
Yeah.
But we headed out there and active duty. And to your point, I loved it. It was so incredibly challenging. When I got there, my first time, you know, as an active duty chaplain, mm-hmm. and they said, you're going to be the chaplain for 3 different groups, which was like 10 different squadrons. And you're going to be the dorm and single airman chaplain. And you're going to run our airman ministry center, which is called Gravity, out at Kirtland. So it was an incredible challenge of like, how do I balance my time? How do I serve all of these leaders? How do I minister to all these airmen? But I loved it.
Right.
And I want to share somewhat briefly, when I was at Kirtland, mm-hmm. We found out that my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer when I was out there. And which was a very difficult phone call. It was a phone call to get from the doctor. And she immediately started undergoing her treatment. You know, 5 rounds of chemotherapy, surgery, 25 rounds of radiation. But right in the middle of that was when my 3-year period of active duty was supposed to end. And without asking me, my leadership said, you know what, we're going to take care of Andy. And so they went to the highest levels of the Air Force to say, how do we make sure that he's not having to get out of the Air Force, you know, or go back to the reserves in the middle of his wife's breast cancer treatment. So they told me, number one, hey, your job right now, number one, is to take care of your family, right. Be there for your wife. And when you can continue to be on base and, you know, preach in our services and counsel, then do that. But your priority is your wife. And so I really appreciated that sort of empowerment to that. My mission was my family. Secondly, it worked. And so all of that advocacy, thank you publicly to all of those folks that went to bat for our family, but they were able to get my 3-year orders extended to 5 years. So that during the course of my wife's treatment, there was no break in service. We had TRICARE, right, that entire time. Right. We could have the best care possible and had zero out-of-pocket expenses during that really difficult time. And so I will be forever grateful to the military, to the Air Force, and then to my supervision, my deputy wing chaplain, my wing chaplain, my wing commander, all the way up to the chief of chaplains that fought for our family. And so when I think of a recruiting event, right, to tell people about chaplaincy, it's easy to tell people why I think it would be a good idea for them to consider the chaplaincy, because I know that how people get taken care of in the Air Force. I know the sort of medical care that we can get through the Air Force, right. The insurance that's provided, the pay, the benefits. But again, even that aspect of like, hey, right now, during this season, take care of your family first and then minister here when you're able. I'll never forget it.
It's an amazing story. And I think it goes without saying that anybody that's thinking about future leadership, you know, this is an excellent story of how great leaders can truly shape somebody's future. Like, you truly have such an impact on the way you lead people and take care of. And the one thing that I've always found so great about the military, in all my career, and it's been pretty long between active duty, reserve, and civilian, is how well and skilled and trained our leaders are. And when they get to those higher levels, like, they really are the cream of the crop at making sure that they're identifying needs like that and taking care of their people. Like, it's just, it's a different level. And it's just amazing how they have that such ability to shape somebody's life. Like, I mean, they truly changed your whole entire life.
Yeah,
your outcome.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of a quote as you were speaking. My pastor in college, even as a college student, I was reaching out and helping other, you know, college students. And then right after college, when I went on staff with the church, I was helping some different college students that were going through really difficult times. And much like sometimes we're helping airmen that are going through a really difficult time. Mm-hmm. But during that season, my pastor shared with me, he said, Andy, a faith that has been forged by being shaken is not easily shaken. A faith that's been forged by being shaken is not easily shaken. And that's something I'd try to encourage airmen with. Hey, you might be going through a really difficult time right now, but think about, it's hard, but right. Think about the resilience that God is building in you because you're going through this event, and maybe how you're going to be able to serve and help another airman because of what you've been through, right? Maybe you're going through a tough time with your marriage. Maybe you're going through a tough time at work, but you're going to be able to help and minister to maybe a wingman, right, because of what you've been through in a way that you couldn't have before. Right. I can minister to people that are maybe going through a season of health difficulty, right, or cancer specifically, in a different way now than I could prior to when my wife had breast cancer. Everybody's experience is unique, but that's something I've been through. We actually had a training event yesterday down at Shepherd Air Force Base, joint training. We had Army chaplains, Air Force chaplains, religious affairs airmen, but I was able to connect with an Army chaplain whose wife just a year and a half ago had been diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And we had that like connection. I was like, wow, you know, maybe we could talk sometime, because just to know that while there's another chaplain who'd been through a similar experience was comforting to me. So.
Right. Awesome perspective. And you talk about the challenges and challenging times. So what could you offer airmen during this season, or any season really, but what could you offer them in the way of getting through difficult times and keeping resilient now?
All right, so I got a lot. Okay. I got a lot I would like to share.
I'll have a sip of tea and sit back.
Yeah, sit back. So one is self-care, okay? Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself.
Right.
Have situational awareness, have SA on yourself. How are you doing? What's your stress level? Is it too high? Do you need to take a break? I would encourage airmen, if they can take leave, which we're really blessed in the military to get about 30 days a year, right, of leave, right. Yep. Man, don't save it up to the point where you've got use or lose. You know, yeah. I mean, it happens sometimes and we work hard, but man, take your leave, you know, take a week off, take 2 weeks off, go home if you can, mm-hmm. Go spend time with a friend. If you don't have family to go home to go spend time with a friend, maybe somebody that you met in tech school or something, go reconnect with them. So that's one, is take time for yourself. And then the next one, which might seem contrary, but it's not, is be selfless. Okay, look at others. I'll share a verse from my faith tradition, the Christian tradition, Philippians chapter 2, 3, and verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So in that light of being selfless, like during the holiday season, you could be tempted, or a person could be tempted to, woe is me, right? Mm-hmm. I can't take leave. I'm not being offered that by my leadership. Or I don't have, maybe my parents aren't together anymore. Or, you know, my dad took off when I was little and my mom's really not in a place where I can go stay with her. Woe is me. And what I would encourage people to do is to take their focus, instead of thinking woe is me, and go, how can I encourage the people around me? Who else is around me that's maybe in a similar situation? So maybe you set up a lunch with a friend, or maybe you set up a dinner at your house, or maybe you schedule a meetup at a local restaurant because nobody wants to cook, you know? Mm-hmm. But you be the instigator. You be the initiator that sets up a gathering where you get people together. Right. And maybe it's not a group of people. Maybe it's just one person. But like, just know that you can have an impact on just one other person's life this holiday season. And what I find is when we take the focus and attention off of ourselves, mm-hmm. and we seek to be a blessing to other people, right. In the end, what happens? You know it, right? We get blessed. We get encouraged. We get more joy in our lives because we're sharing with others. So self-care, be selfless. Along those lines as well, you know, it might sound cliche, but you could go serve at a homeless shelter, right? Like we live in a city, a really big city here in Oklahoma City. So there's a lot of different opportunities to, you know, maybe you go help sort clothing at a thrift store for free, you know, or you go down to the Salvation Army and help out down there. So there's a lot of different ways that you could help and serve. Another piece of advice is to don't drink away your sorrows, right? Yeah. You might be tempted to, you know what, like, I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to sit here and drink and play video games or whatever. But there's some other healthy things you can do instead, like exercise, eat well, get good sleep, and then just kind of balance in everything, you know? I just had the note, like, don't let your sleep schedule get too off during the holidays. Maybe you do get some time off, or you take leave, or you're on a minimal manning schedule or something like that. You know, maybe don't stay up till like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. playing video games. Like, try to keep a consistent sleep schedule, because sleep is really important. You can, anyone listening can look that up. But our sleep and our sleep schedule is really important to our mental health. Mm-hmm. Another one is to check in with friends and family. So if you can do that, again, like I said, go home if you can. And then I wrote down, be kind, be loving, be forgiving, and then release bitterness towards those who have hurt you. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Don't let pride get in the way. Take the first step in restoring your relationship with that family member or friend who you are estranged from. So often, again, this will, I think, connect with people. We're waiting for the other person to take that first step, right? Yep. Say, oh man, I haven't talked to my mom in this long, or I haven't talked to my dad, or I've been really had a difficult relationship with my brother. Say, oh, well, you know, what do you think it'll take? Waiting for that apology, waiting for him to call, you know, but not even maybe expecting it because it's been so many years. My encouragement to people is, again, be selfless, be humble. Don't let pride get in the way of you restoring or helping try to restore that relationship. Right. You may not feel like you need to be the one who apologizes, but often it is you making an apology. It's like the grease that gets the wheels turning again in a relationship. So just encourage people, have humility, you know, take the humble pill, make the phone call, write the letter, and just say, hey, you know what? I apologize that it's been so long. You know, I apologize that I've let this issue come between us. I apologize for that thing that I said that hurt you. And so that's a big one. Because relationships, right, when people think about the holidays and the being hard, a lot of times it is those like strained relationships. So take action. Do your part in restoring that relationship. Yep. And then have one last thing, and that's just seek help, right? Sometimes we kind of get to the end of ourselves and we say, I don't know how to, right? I wouldn't know where to start as far as like making that apology to a person. So that's why I'd say get help. Talk to one of your chaplains, right? Okay? We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but we offer 100% confidentiality, privileged communication. And so there is nothing someone can share with us in confidence that we will ever share with another person, you know, to out them. Like, it's not going back to their commander. It's not going to be shared with their spouse if they're married. Right. It is 100% confidential. That's a special relationship that we're able to have with folks as Chaplain Corps members. Reach out to MFLAX. Reach out to Family Advocacy, Mental Health, Military One Source. And then the National Suicide Hotline is 988. Right, they made that number here in the last couple of years. So encourage people to reach out for help.
Yes, sir. And I think those are some excellent points. I think that's a great place where we can wrap this up. And I do want to just hit on very quickly before we wrap up and get out of here. But when you're talking about go get help and people come out and get help, everybody needs to understand, and we don't have to go into detail about it. We could just leave it here. But there's no recourse. There's no reprisal
right.
for any person in our military or civilians that are going to reach out to get help they need. But we'll leave it with that because I think we could probably roll on for another hour on just that topic alone. But Chaplain, it was great to sit down and talk to you today. The background, everything is great here. Welcome to Tinker, even though it's not your first time and it's been a half a year. But I'm sure glad we got a chance to sit down with you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everyone who's listening to this around the holidays.
Yes, sir. And with that, that's going to wrap up another edition of the Tinker Talks podcast episode. Thanks for joining us. Please remember to make sure to check us out on all our socials. That's Tinker Air Force Base on Facebook and Instagram and @team_Tinker on X. And until next time, stay careful out there, be healthy, wise, and get help if you do need it, and go get some downtime, because we're going to go get after it next year. Thank you.
Amen. Tinker strong.
Tinker strong.